I'm Sasha, host of Open Mic on Thursdays from 1 to 2, and I want to make sure you know how much I appreciate it every time you tune in to listen to CGSF. We honestly can't express our gratitude enough. Thank you from all of us behind the microphone at CGSF 90.1 FM.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded April 25th and May 1st, 2024. And happy May Day! In times of yore in the Northern Hemisphere, the May Day heralded winter's finality and the coming of spring proper. No frosts would come to kill seeds too soon planted or make perish younglings in the nest. For youngsters now, May Day, as heard, may first evoke panic of a May Day that since 1927 has been recognized as the universal signal of distress. As international raconteur and frequent guest on Guerrilla Radio John Helmer, from whom this introduction is inspired, reminds, the distressful element of the May Day derives from the French May Day, literally, help me. It's a call emanating now across the world for the people of Gaza that is being answered with blunt force by authorities in the countries in support of Israel's ongoing genocide in Palestine, a genocide promising to become a 21st century Holocaust. In the first half, local voices becoming a part of the global barricade to stop the slaughter and to free, finally, Palestine. And as well as genocide in Gaza and, so far, less virulent attacks against freedom of speech and thought at American universities, Israel is too targeting the Palestinian culture, hunting down and killing its journalists, authors, and poets. Fascists have always feared artists and their ability to stir within our hearts aspirations for a more beautiful world, and have always tried and failed to quash that spirit. And in their attempts, they reveal themselves and their vile philosophy to be the enemy of what's best about us and what's best about being alive. Terry Wolfwood is the director and co-founder of the Bernard Boker Center Foundation. She's served as local coordinator for the Victoria chapter of Women in Black for many years and has traveled numerous times to the refugee camps in Palestine and Western Sahara to bear witness to those suffering injustice and to bring the message of the people she meets there back to Canada. Terry is too a poet and author. Her articles have appeared at Briar Patch, Peace News, and Third World Resurgence, among other places. Her poetry can be found at the Foundation site, bbcf.ca, and in her recently released second anthology, Passion and Commitment, published by Smallberry Press. Terry Wolfwood and a life of passionate existence, love, art, and resistance in the second half. But first, Palestine's message from Victoria to the world. It's day 205 again. Here we are down at the legislature in Victoria, along with other Victorians disgusted and dismayed by the government's inaction to actually abet and profit from the destruction of Gaza. It's early now, but there's about 80 or so people here who've been out here week in and week out since October. We'll see what people have to say today.
Upon you all. Thank you for joining us here today. Rain or shine, we come out. Woo! As we mark the 204th day of this ongoing genocide, let us remember our purpose for gathering. We are here to show our leaders that we have not dropped or abandoned our demands. We call on our government to fulfill its duties as a signatory to the Geneva Convention, to do everything possible to end the genocide in Gaza and end the military occupation of all of Palestine. Yeah! This means putting economic and political pressure on so-called Israel and its allies, such as, number one, calling for a permanent and complete ceasefire. Number two, implementing a two-way weapons embargo on the terrorist state known as Israel. Number three, pulling the Canadian ambassador out of from Israel and expelling the Israeli ambassador from Canada. Number four, putting economic sanctions and banning all imports that originate from illegally occupied territories. We are also calling on the international community to hold Israel accountable for its recurring war crimes and facilitate the opening of unlimited humanitarian corridors. Number one on that list was a ceasefire. But what is our bare minimum? Ceasefire is the first step to justice. Justice is our bare minimum. What do you want?
Justice!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
Justice is our demand.
Justice is our demand.
No peace on stolen land. This week was an exhausting week as several mass graves were discovered in Nasser Hospital and Al-Shifa Hospital. Just at Nasser Hospital, over 300 bodies have been uncovered so far, including bodies of children and elderly, including bodies of medical staff and patients with their catheters still in, including bodies that were cable tied and executed, including bodies that were mutilated with missing organs, including bodies that were stripped naked and tortured, and including at least 20 people who have evidence of being buried alive. Meanwhile, the Ottawa legislature is imposing a kufiya ban in Queen's Park. God knows our politicians love to orchestrate a culture war and then turn a blind eye to genocide. Shame. But it doesn't matter because fire is catching, and at least 25 universities in the U.S. are now doing encampments to protest their universities' investments in Israel. Power to the people. Makes me want to go back to school and join them.
That's how we stop Vietnam.
Including this morning, McGill and Concordia University. So, we are beginning to answer the call, which is amazing. I would now like to welcome our first speaker from the British Columbia General Employees Union and Labour for Palestine. Please welcome Zach Dubian.
Hello everyone. Thanks for everyone for coming here. I am not used to public speaking, but I will do my best. My name, as I was introduced, is Zach Dubien. I'm a shop steward for the BC Generals Employees Union, and I'm here today speaking on behalf of Labour for Palestine, a cross-union organization of rank-and-file workers in support of Palestinian liberation. Gaza includes at least 480 healthcare workers, 146 journalists, and 223 aid workers, including 185 UNRWA staff. I could go on, but unfortunately, Israel's siege has meant that nobody is able to keep track of the countless Palestinian rescue workers, bakers, technicians, administrators, care workers, farmers, teachers, and more currently being slaughtered by the IOF.
Crime!
and none of their lives are any less valuable. Tomorrow, the Victoria Labour Council is holding an annual day of mourning for the victims of capitalism in British Columbia. And while it's important to honour those martyred here, it feels hollow to honour them alone while the genocide in Gaza nears its eighth month. The next Wednesday is also May Day, International Workers' Day, a day to celebrate militant resistance to exploitation and oppression across the globe. And here in the Imperial Corps, it is also an opportunity to recommit ourselves to dismantling those systems of global control from within. And it's in that spirit of international solidarity that I want to speak briefly about an often overlooked way in which the labor movement struggle here is intertwined with Palestinian liberation. Last September, a UN Special Rapporteur published a report condemning Canada's temporary foreign worker programs as a breeding ground for contemporary forms of slavery. Under these programs, well over a million people from around the globe are currently working in so-called Canada under our very own system of labor apartheid. These workers grow our food, serve our coffee, build our homes, care for our elders, and raise our children, and yet they are systematically denied their basic rights. They suffer daily abuses at the hands of employers who are given near total control over their lives, and they are offered no guaranteed path to permanent residency in this country, which would cease to function without them. Meanwhile, last year in the occupied territories, before the outbreak of this open genocide, nearly 1 million Palestinians were forced to seek work permits in Israel just to feed their families, paying up to 20% of their wages to permit brokers and spending hours every single day traveling through IOF checkpoints where they are subjected to constant harassment and humiliation, all to work for less than half of what the average Israeli makes, in dangerous conditions with little to no labor protections and no ability to remain even for a night in the land that was stolen from them. This situation has, of course, only grown exponentially worse since Israel unleashed their new Nakba, with hundreds of thousands of these permits canceled, leaving families struggling to put food on the table, including, of course, the thousands of those issued to Gazans. Some of those workers' permits were even revoked while they were still inside of Israel, leading to months of torture and imprisonment without trial. These permit regimes, as well as others in the US, the European Union, and the Gulf monarchies and elsewhere, are essential for reproducing and reinforcing Western imperialism, providing cheap, disposable labor, and maintaining racialized subjugation. But these programs don't just resemble each other. They exist in communication, they inform, and they strengthen each other. Labor exploitation, genocide, and land theft make up the doubled histories of Canada and of Israel as colonial projects. But today, Israel stands at the forefront, proudly exporting 21st century tools and fascist ideological justification for a glowing system of global apartheid. So as workers, we recognize that Palestinians resist apartheid and genocide not just for themselves, but on all of our behalfs. More than just thanks for their resolve and courage, we working people must show our own here and now. Our struggles take different forms, but they are one. Every bomb in Palestine is an attack on the working people of the world and money in the pockets of the bosses and oligarchs. Every shell, a strike at global liberation. Every lie on the news, a new attempt to dehumanize Palestinians as well as ourselves by making us refuse to care. So stand with us now in solidarity with Palestine and fight to demand that Canada and all support and cooperation with Israel until a permanent ceasefire is reached, until all prisoners and hostages are released, until Israel is held accountable for its crimes against humanity, until the occupation and apartheid system are permanently abolished. From the river to the sea, none of us are free until all of us are free. Viva la causa and free, free, free! Palestine! Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
From the river to the sea!
From the river to the sea!
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
Thank you all.
Our next speaker is a member of the editorial board of People's Voice newspaper and leader of the Communist Party. Please give a warm round of applause to Liz Rowley.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
I hope the government is listening, and I really hope that CBC is listening. Because it's about time that we had some accurate journalism in this country. Because the majority of people in Canada care about democracy. They care about peace. And they care about Palestine. But you wouldn't know it if you watched CBC News. And we have to conclude here that this has to do something with the funding model that the CBC is subject to. And the pressure from the Liberal Party that the CBC should be supporting government policy, even though it supports genocide. And by the way, I don't suppose any of you have heard any objections from Mr. Poilievre, who opposes everything the Liberals do, but somehow is so silent on the issue of the genocide in Palestine. Shame on you! I want to tell you that our newspaper, People's Voice, which some of you got a copy of and some you subscribe to, has been carrying news about the struggle of the Palestinian people, the world's community against genocide, and for the national liberation struggle, which the people of Palestine are struggling for. And we hope that they will win. And we will support them to win right from many years ago up to the present. And if we can do it, surely CBC, which is funded by the Canadian people, can just tell the truth about what is happening in Palestine and the Middle East. I want to talk very briefly and briefly about the Canadian government and its disgusting actions with respect to what is happening in the Middle East. You know, the federal budget that just came out has really bowed to NATO, which is imperialism's global army. What else can we say? That is demanding that Canada should spend 2% of GDP on military spending. And so far, they have decided in this budget that they will increase the almost $37 billion, which is our current defense budget, by $8.1 billion by 2029. And after that, they will move it further again to make up the full 2% that's demanded by, I don't know, first Trump, and now Biden, and probably the next guy. And where's that money going to go? It's going to be used to send armaments to Israel. It's going to be used to send armaments to Ukraine. It's going to be used to fund the build of nuclear submarines, nuclear-powered submarines that are part of the AUKUS agreement. This is the U.S., the U.K., and Australia. And Canada is apparently going to apply to join AUKUS because we want to have that military building capacity here, create jobs, so that that military spending and that agreement can see if they can provoke some kind of additional wars with China, with Vietnam, with Laos, and with the DPRK. Our government is a government of war, and it has to stop, because this could easily result, with all of these wars which are expanding, into some kind of a nuclear confrontation. And there are loons in the U.S. who think that a tactical nuclear war is possible. And you all know, I'm sure, this is absolute rubbish. There's no such thing as a tactical nuclear war. When they go, we all go. We need a Canadian government that is willing and will deliver an independent Canadian foreign policy of peace and disarmament, and that will be supportive of the rights of people around the world, including, in the first place, the Palestinian people, to their rights to self-determination and sovereignty in their country. NATO. And we need to get out of NORAD. Yeah. And we need to fight for peace and for justice in the Middle East, in Europe, in the Far East, and for Canadians. One last word about this budget. You know, when they talk about how they're going to increase military spending and it's all for peace and all that, you know it's a lie. But they don't tell you where it's going to come from. But I'm going to tell you where it's going to come from. It's going to come from your paychecks. It's going to come from Medicare. It's going to come from post-secondary education, child care, disability, social assistance. They're going to strip our country, and it's going to look like the United States. Thank you, brother. That's how it's going to look. And for all of these reasons, we have to oppose this agenda. It's an agenda of war and austerity and reaction. And just remember who brought it here. It was the Liberals, supported by the Tories, and shamefully the NDP. And that has to change as well. So finally, let me just say that what you are doing here for the 8th month of this war is very important. It's really important. Because when you come out and protest, when we come out and protest around the country, in little places like Duncan yesterday, you know, there are hundreds of people who look and say, yeah, I agree with them. They're good. I should go out with them. But I'm not going out with them. But they're doing a good job. And you're the ones who are putting the pressure on the government. And they know that for every one of you that is out here, there are hundreds of people who agree with you. And that's why we have to keep at it. Keep the pressure on. And we'll win. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz. Another round of applause for Liz. She was speaking some truth there. Okay, our third speakers now, aka singers, are Peter and Ryan. I will let them introduce themselves. Give it up.
Could you blame us for being excited? So, as we're here from Labor for Palestine today, part of that has been singing resistance songs. And so there's been a song that started in the early days of organizing in the 1930s where workers started saying, we will not be moved, as they had the police sent in against them. They had people going in to bust their strikes. They would not be moved. Through the civil rights movement, this song stuck around as people continued to take to the streets and refused to be pushed off. As we have people pushing back on, you know, cutting in on us right now, we hold our ground. We hold strong. And so this song is one that repeats itself. There's verses that kind of come together, and we're going to play it and teach it to you, and we're all going to sing really loud because nothing raises spirits like music, and nothing also pushes back on, you know, the folks behind us, like us holding our ground and singing our songs.
Thank you. So I'd also want to make a small connection. It's been 8 months that we've been here, standing in solidarity with the struggle in Palestine. An interesting kind of historical coincidence is that today marks the 108th anniversary that the British military shot Irish revolutionary James Connolly as he defended the General Post Office where the Easter Rising had taken hold in Dublin, fighting for liberation from British colonization in Ireland. And James Connolly wasn't just a revolutionary, but he was a poet and a songwriter as well. And I think there's just a beautiful thought that he wrote that I'd like to share here regarding these struggle songs. In the opening to his collection of struggle songs that he wrote and collected from across the world, he wrote that no revolutionary movement is complete without its poetical expression. If such a movement has caught hold of the imagination of the masses, they will seek a vent in song for their aspirations, their fears, and their hopes, the loves and the hatreds engendered by the struggle. Until the movement is marked by the joyous, defiant singing of revolutionary songs, it lacks one of the most distinctive marks of a popular revolutionary movement. It's the dogma of the few and not the faith of the masses. So as Connolly would say, Sersha dan Palestine, and here is We Shall Not Be Moved.
We shall not, we shall not be moved.
You gotta join in.
We shall not. We shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
Hand in hand together.
Hand in hand together. We shall not be moved. Hand in hand together. We shall not be moved, just like the trees planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
Fighting for our freedom.
Fighting for our freedom. We shall not be moved. Fighting for our freedom. We shall not be moved, just like the trees planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
Olive tree and cedar.
Olive tree and cedar. We shall not be moved. Olive tree and cedar. We shall not be moved, just like the trees planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
We stand with Palestine.
Win with Palestine. We shall not be moved. We stand with Palestine. We shall not be moved, just like the trees planted by the water.
River Jordan.
Sea to River Jordan, we shall not be moved. From sea to River Jordan, we shall not be moved, just like the trees planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
We shall not be moved.
We shall not. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
Come on, we can get a better round of applause. Give it up. Much to all of our speakers and our singers for using their powerful voices and sharing their perspectives with us today. Please take these next few moments to renew your intentions for this march. As we begin, remember that our collective goal is explicit. We are here to heighten awareness and call for justice for and with our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Let's voice our perspectives peacefully, steering clear of confrontations. Say it, repeat after me. Steering clear of confrontations. How about like a little bit unison? Steering clear of confrontations. Okay, so that was a legal contract. So you are now all legally obliged to steer clear of confrontations. Just letting it sink in. If the need arises, find an organizer or a friend in a high-vis vest to report the confrontation, and proper action will be enforced. We are here for Palestine. What we do collectively for Palestine. We are trying to empower other members of our community to join us in our fight for justice. And we are here to remind businesses and institutions that boycotts are forever. Forever. Together, let's ensure that today is impactful and ensure our demands are met by tomorrow. I would like to call up our friends with younger kids in strollers and our older friends as well to do us the honor of leading the march.
So that's it. Now they're off downtown.
To tell you.
205 days in.